never known. But then things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God in the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the trials and temptation, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day,
would you stand,
is still God in the night. For the God on the mountain
is still God in the valley.
God in the valley. God of the good times,
hallelujah,
is still God in the bad times. The God of the day
is still God in the
night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley,
down in the valley
of trials and temptation.
Have you ever been there?
That's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain,
listen, church,
is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the day is still God in the night.
Would you thank the Father for the cross? Thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you for our Savior's death. Get your Bible ready. Thank you, Brother Joe, Sister Amy. Thank you, Sister Yvette. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. All the musicians, we just appreciate our music. It's just overwhelming. It's just really overwhelming to me. I hope you love it as much as I do. I really do. I hope you love it just as much as I do, because it's just outstanding. I've asked Brother Danny to sing tonight. I hadn't heard him enough. But a wonderful singer. And I want Sister Phoebe, her daughter, to sing tonight. If you'll tell her, I think she's helping with children. But let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 7. I want to preach this morning a sermon that really has got a hold of me. It got a hold of me, I think it was Monday morning, here in the sanctuary praying. I was weeping for souls and crying out for God to save the lost. The sermon got a hold of me, and I want to preach a sinner saved from hell. A sinner saved from hell. I hope you'll listen carefully. We're going to read a story in the Bible that I don't think I've ever preached on. I don't think I've ever heard anybody else preach on it. I'm not sure. But if it did, it was only once or twice. Beginning with verse 34, it tells this story. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bipper, a friend of publicans and sinners. Now they accused Jesus falsely in some things, but one thing that they accused him of that was not false: a friend of publicans and sinners. Did you hear that? A friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. One of the Pharisees desired him, that's Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner. Now this was not an ordinary sinner. This was an unusual sinner. This was a woman known in the whole town as a sinner. This was a city sinner. A woman living so vile that everybody talked about her and mentioned her name. And she was known in the city as a sinner. That overwhelmed me when I read that. That she was actually called a sinner at this occasion because of her notorious life. Her notorious life. And the Bible says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. An alabaster box is an expensive box. It was made of alabaster. It was expensive. It cost a considerable amount of money. It really did. It cost a considerable amount of money. And it was full of ointment, full of great expensive smell. You didn't put cheap stuff in these boxes. You're talking about the minimal, according to what I've read, of a year's salary of the average person that this box of alabaster ointment would cost. And she came, brought the alabaster ox of ointment, and stood at his feet. Stood at his feet now, behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with this precious ointment. I'm telling you, that's a beautiful story. Anybody see the beauty of that story? This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God amidst the worst of sinners. This is the Son of God in the midst of ultimate wickedness, ultimate filth, If you've been reading the newspapers about all these big names all over America who are going before their peers and having to face their filthy living, I've been reading a little of it, and I didn't know people could be so vile, so wicked, so ungodly, right in the midst of their world of peers and friends. It's overwhelming. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself. Nobody heard him within, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Can you believe that a man would be condemned because sinners are listening to him? But you see, this is the story of Christ's life. Now I want to read on, but time won't allow me, because I got a lot the Holy Ghost wants me to say this morning. God help me to say it. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you anoint this old man? And let me preach what is pleasing to you this morning, that Christ may be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, please be seated. Please keep your Bible open. Please keep your ears tuned. And please listen to Brother Chambers. I want to say the right thing. Number one, we have in front of us a picture of the heart of Jesus Christ. We have in front of us in this story a picture of the heart of Jesus Christ. This is what he was made out of. This was what he came for. This was the story of his life. This was the story of his life. You got to understand, not only is this the heart of Christ, but you begin to read your Bible and you'll discover this is the heart of Christianity. This is where Christianity meets the road. This is where Christianity rises above the religions that are everywhere. This is where Christianity shows its realness, its genuineness. It is the nature of Christ to love the lost. It is the nature of Christ to love the lost. It is the heart of Christ to love the lost. Now listen. You have heard at times on the news of a little, say, 3-year-old beautiful damsel. Just a blossom in her home. A joy to all of her kinfolks. And suddenly she's gone. Something has happened to her. Nobody knows what it is. They begin to search. They'll search the city. They'll search the woods for miles. They'll search every ditch. They'll search every valley. They will look everywhere they can look, because a little 3-year-old girl is lost. And the whole community, the most vile of the community, the hard-hearted people of the city, will come out to search for a little lost 3-year-old girl. And I would join them. I would join them. I would join them. I remember one time one of my grandsons was missing. It was a known miss, and we knew where that grandson was. But oh, what disturbance it created in the family. What determination it created in the parent and in this grandfather. Oh, I'm telling you, I've been reading about 40-some sailors in Venezuela. Is that where it is? Where the submarine has disappeared? Did anybody ever hear whether they found them? I don't think they was expecting any longer to find them. Something happened to that submarine. It was an old makeshift thing to begin with. I don't know. But they were lost. They were lost. I want you to take a moment. How about saying the word lost? Come on. Everybody. The word lost. Lost. Do you know what that word means? Do you understand the critical emotion that that word can create? Do you understand how that word can get a hold of you until you literally can't sleep? Until you can't eat? What if it was your little three-year-old? How many of you could go a week or 2 weeks and not want to eat a bite if your three-year-old was missing? Lost. Lost. All right, I want you to transfer that word lost. There's a multitude out there that are lost. There's a multitude out there that's lost. And some of them are the love of my heart. And some of them are the love of your heart. And they're lost. They're lost. And if somebody don't find them, they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. And there is no lostness to compare with being lost to hell. There is no comparison. I want you to do something for me as I'll continue. I won't stay here long. But how many of you will memorize this morning the word lost and you'll try to get it on your heart? Let me see your hand. I wish I could see every hand. I want you to say lost at least 6 times this afternoon and tomorrow, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday through Saturday. Then today be 7 days, Sunday through Saturday. You'll say lost at least 6 times. How many will do your best to do that? Let me see your hand. Come on, raise it high. You'll do your best to repeat the word lost every day 6 times for 7 days. Lost! Lost! And when you say the word lost, don't just think about being lost in the woods and being lost in some jungle, being lost on some old high mountain peak, or being lost in some place of evil, wicked people. That little girl, though she is destroyed, will have an eternity in heaven. That little three-year-old girl's not lost in her heart. She's only lost in her body. And that's enough to kill you. And what if she was lost and her mom and dad see her die somewhere in her early teens and they know that she's wicked and lived for the devil and they know she's lost forever? That would be murder to me. I don't know that I could take it. You know, I remember when we pastored at Black Mountain, my children, I'd always had a fear of my children dying as children. And being a diabetic's children, there was a greater amount of fear. And I remember going into their room at night after all was asleep and just weep over them. One night the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Son, it would be better that they would die as teenagers than live to be adults and die and go to hell." And I remember one night I prayed. I said, "God, if any one of these children of mine are going to be lost in eternal hell, I want you to take them while they're children. I want you to take them while they're young. If I ever lose one of them from this day forward, I'm going to say, Father, you allowed it to save them from hell." And the peace of God came over me. It really did. And I knew from then on, I didn't have to run in there with that fear of one of my children suddenly dying. But lost is a horrible thought. And we don't think about it much, but we have got to learn to think about it. We really have. Jesus said, now listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 9 and 3. He said, "I am not come to call the righteous." I am not come to call the righteous. If you are righteous, he didn't come for you. You know why he can't come from righteous people? Because you've got to make a sinner out of them before he can save them. Righteous people can't get saved because they're pompous and they all you know, swole up and they're more than they think they are. And if you don't change them to be a sinner, you can't even get them saved. And Jesus said, "I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Oh, what a truth. Now, I want to say a few things here, and I don't want you to forget it. Religious people love noise. But Christians that are really spiritual love weeping. Love weeping. I know. There's not been enough of it around here. My history does not have enough of it. I'll take the guilt on me. But I want to tell you something. Revival is the result of weeping. and nothing else. Remember what Brother Switzer said last Sunday night of this great revivalist of the past? When he couldn't be at a meeting, they wanted a word from him to tell everybody. And he sent them two words back. Try tears. How many remember him saying that? Try tears. I'm convinced there is no revival because there's no weeping. And when weeping comes in all of its glory and power, there will be a Holy Ghost revival. The Holy Santopika Romashabakoya. The Holy Ghost said to me this morning, when my church starts weeping, they'll have a Holy Ghost revival. When my church starts weeping, they'll have a Holy Ghost revival. That's what he said to me this morning. And it hit me like a ton of brick. I want to be an awesome weeper. Remember Jeremiah cried out, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. How long since you wept for your lost children? How long since you wept for that lost loved one? How long since you had a revival so profound and so breathtaking that all you could do was weep when you got in the presence of God? I thank God that He's been shaking me to the foundation of my being. I thank God that I can hardly get on my knees anymore without weeping. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm not telling you it's something I've done. I'm telling you I think it's something the Holy Ghost is doing to try to get me ready for a Holy Ghost revival. Because where there is no weeping, there is no revival. And where there is weeping, there will be revival in short pace. Hallelujah. Are we willing? Are we willing? Are we willing to die to our old carnal, self-righteous selves and become weepers before God unto holy Kasiko, oh, Holy Ghost revival comes in His glory. How many agree with this? Let me see your hand. Now shake it a little bit. I got to take my time. I got so much the Holy Ghost has given me. Now I want to give you a little bit of three stories in this Bible, if I can possibly find the time. But you got to learn with me. You got to understand with me that weeping is God's way to bring revival. The light of Christians is their tears. The light of Christians is their tears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The holiness churches are full of noise, but very little weeping. The holiness churches are full of noise, but very little weeping. And you can have noise for a while, and it'll draw a little crowd. But when you get that little crowd of noise lovers, they'll turn on each other, and it'll become a dark place. I've been there. I've seen that. Oh, God help us. Now, let's go to our story. A Pharisee, a self-righteous Jew, a pompous man, a man of stature, a man who knew the community. He was probably one of the elders of the city. He was probably a member of the city council. He may have been the city attorney. He may have been the city mayor. Who knows what his position was, but he was well known. He wasn't just well known, but he well knew. He knew his city like the back of his hand. He had walked every street. He had visited every community. He knew who was the good and who was the bad. And he knew here was a woman who was a noted sinner. Probably a prostitute. She had probably been in the bed with dozens of his senior citizens and city council members. Oh, she was a noted sinner. She really was. Well, the Pharisee must have heard when Jesus was showing them that he came and he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus could take a sinner, and I'm not calling you a sinner. He could take a sinner and go out to eat with him and pay the bill. I mean, that's what he could do. He was a friend of sinners. He was a friend of publicans. Nobody liked a publican. You know what a publican is? Your tax collector. How many of you love your tax collector? Let me see your hand. I didn't think you did. You don't love your tax collector. You love your tax collector?
Love all men.
Oh, woo! Well, God help him now. He'll be crying next. Hallelujah. Weeping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just loving on him. Listen, let me tell you something, church. That man was a noted man in that city. And he invited Jesus to his house. I mean, the Son of God is going home with me. The Son of God is going to eat at my table. And I tell you, it was a fabulous meal. Oh, there was something special about it. The food was outstanding. It had been prepared by some of the best cooks in that city. It was just really overwhelming meal. And Jesus comes in and he sits to eat. And somebody disturbs the banquet. And the somebody is an old sinner. An old sinner. I don't know how she was dressed. But you know, being a harlot and being the bearer of this alabaster box of ornament, she was probably a leading harlot of that community. I mean, she was no doubt beautiful. She was no doubt dressed in a very telling way. She was everything she was. And she was that, and she knew it. And she didn't care who knew it. She was just an old sinner. But she heard that Jesus was in town. Oh, Sharonte, come to town, Jesus, and give us a Holy Ghost revival. We want to shake the city. We want to shake the city. Does anybody want to shake this city but your pastor? I know you do. I know you do. I don't think we're serious enough yet. I really don't. I think we're heading that direction. I hear sermons from everybody who preaches, and it seems to suggest we're going the right direction. But I want to tell you something I hear. Now, you listen to me, and don't you get mad at me. I know you won't. But I'll tell you, we keep talking about miracles and revivals, miracles and signs and wonders, and I want them. But I want to tell you something. The weeping will come before the signs and the wonders. Not the signs and the wonders before the weeping. Are you listening to me? And if we will get broken before so rush of my death. Somebody help me. Roshan. Oh! Woo! Oh, if we'll get a burden for those sons and those daughters away from God, if we'll get a burden for those lovely ones that are lost and lost and lost, and we'll get so burdened that all we can do is squall and cry, that won't be long. The harvest time's coming. Mercy to the harvest time's coming. Oh, I don't know about you. But here's an old man that all I want to do is weep till my children come to God. Would you just bow your head a minute and ask God to teach you by the Holy Ghost to weep like you've never wept, and to get a burden for those precious people that are going to spend eternity in the devil's hell? I want to tell you, hell wasn't created for the saints and their children. Hell wasn't created for those kids I have loved and cared for with every emotion in my being. It was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't for your family or your family or your family or your family. It was for the devil and his angels. The devil's angels. And I'm telling you, if you'll cry and pray, the Holy Ghost said to me, he will not turn away the tears on my eyes. My wife died weeping for her children. Sometimes I get angry when I think of the pain she carried for weeks on end. I heard her pray, and she would say, Father, whatever it costs me, save my children. Whatever I've got to pay, Father, whatever you want to do with us, whatever you want to do with Joe and I, give us our children. Bring them back to God. Hallelujah. But I got news for you. I love Marlon kids and Lucille Mumford's children. And Sister Norton, Norma's children. I love them as much as I love my own. I've prayed for yours, Sister Dixie. I've prayed for yours, Sister Yvette. I've prayed for yours, every one of you, with all of my heart. When I get on my knees in here and I start weeping, it isn't some selfish weep. It isn't some selfish moan. It's a cry for Holy Ghost revival. And that old pompous, arrogant Pharisee, here she came. You know, listen, get with me now. I guarantee you, she opened the door very slowly. And I guarantee you, she tried her best to keep from making everybody have attention of her. I guarantee you, she didn't want to be made a show of. She didn't want to be the center of attention. It wasn't her that made herself a center of attention. It was the Pharisee that made her the center of attention. If any sinners come in here and somebody dislikes them, I'll guarantee you it won't be the Holy Ghost. It'll be some religious person who is more righteous than other people, and they can't stand the sinner around them. Now you hear me when I tell you that God in His grace was watching, and that woman came in that place and she stood behind Him. Says she stood behind Him, and she had this expensive box. I won't tell you what that alabaster box represented. It represented what she used to adorn and give aroma to her body. So that once she had put this smelly good, she could walk among the men and she would get their attention. This was her livelihood. This was how she was going to make her living for weeks and months down the road. This represented everything she was. It represented her to a totality. But when she came in that house of the Pharisee, she didn't come to make a show. She come to give her life. She come to give her wealth that she had earned in her godless living. She come to bring what she would plan to use next week and next month to attract the men of that city. She brought everything. She brought her past, she brought her present, and she brought her future. Now look at it. She brought her past, she brought her present, and she brought her future. And she poured every bit of it out on the feet of Jesus. Woo, that is a beautiful. I don't know where to find something beautiful. She brought a past and a present and a future. When I came to Jesus at 16, I brought everything I was, and I've left it there for 65, going on 66 years, and I ain't changing now. How many? This morning. This morning. You say, well, I'd like to be a Christian, but I'm not ready. Well, you probably won't get ready if you have that attitude. You probably won't. Very likely, you're going to be lost. But I don't want it. I don't want it. I've never hated hell so bad in my life. You get old like I've got, you hate hell. Because you know around you, the multitude. I've got a lot of enemies. But I want to tell you something. I've been weeping for them. I've been praying for them with all I got for Jesus to save them, to change their life. Well, this woman brought everything she had. She brought her past, she brought her present, and she brought her future. And the Simon, the self-righteous man, oh, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. Yeah, he did know what kind she was, and that's why he came. Hallelujah. He came for her. He didn't come for that Pharisee. He came for her. Are you listening to me? Oh, he came for her because she represented his heart. She represented the very heart throb that brought him all the way down from heaven. He didn't come from heaven to a sin-cursed earth for a bunch of self-righteous people. He came from heaven to the earth because he loved me, and he loved you, and he loved every sinner, and he cares about their soul. Somebody raise their hand and just shake it with me a little bit, will you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. It's a beautiful picture when you think about how much he loves you. How much do you love a world around you? I've come this morning to bring this church to the place of many tears. You preachers, you have no business in the pulpit another time if you haven't wept for lost people. Now, I'm not going to be able to keep up with you. I don't know whether you're weeping or not, but But God knows. And let me tell you something. You start weeping, it's going to show up. Spirituality that simply wants to have a gift of the Spirit. You know, the gifts of the Spirit can be very deceiving for good people. They can be used by a gift of a spirit because God loves them and loves His church. And we begin to feel a little bit, you know. Let me tell you how to know how spiritual you are, how much you prayed, and how much you wept before God this week. How many times have you got on your face and you just sobbed and you couldn't quit sobbing? Oh, Brother Chambers, I want miracles. No, you need to want tears is what you need to want. Hallelujah. And let the miracles take care of themselves. How many believe that'll happen? Let me see your hand. You believe it? If we can become weeping saints and believers and godly people, men and women, how many believe we'll have miracles? You ain't never wept for somebody like you should and not get some results. Hallelujah. I remember when Terry was lost. We was in the fellowship hall over on Little Rock Road, hadn't built the sanctuary. And I told Mama, I'm going to fast a few days, darling, to see our son saved. And I remember being at the fellowship hall. That's all we had then. That's where the sanctuary was. And I was on my face weeping, praying. And the Holy Ghost joined me and said, son, I promise you, your son. I jumped up off my knees. I ran home. Mama, God just spoke to Daddy. He's going to save our son. And she said, I believe it, Dad. I join you with it. We shouted and we praised God. 2 Sundays later, I looked over on my left, and there came Terry down the aisle to give his heart to the Lord. I remember a few nights later, we was having an all-night prayer meeting, and he was praying. And about 12 o'clock, he came to me and said, Dad, how can I let the Holy Ghost speak? How can I turn loose? And I said, son, nobody can tell you that. You just keep praying. You just keep turning yourself over to God. He'll take care of that. Wasn't long. I heard him talking in that heavenly language, that sweet language of Pentecost, of this baptism of the Holy Ghost. I knew this old dad had prayed. Under God had broke the barriers and pulled down the strongholds. How many of you can weep until God pulls down some strongholds? You're willing to do it for your children one by one. If you feel the urge and you're ready, why don't you stand up and just cry out to God, I'm going to be a weeper. I'm going to weep. I'm going to pray. I'm going to cry. I'm going to seek God. I can't do it on my own, but the Holy Ghost is going to help me. Somebody praise him with me. Oh, hallelujah. I believe you mean this. Well, you may be seated. Oh, what a crowd. I mean, you're talking about weeping. Don't you go back on that. Don't you go back on that. If you go back on that, you've disregarded what the Holy Ghost just told you. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival, Joe Gans. But we're going to have it with tears. We're not going to have it with emotions. We're not going to have it because we got more shouting than anybody else in town. We're not going to have it because we got the best music in town. Boy, we have got that. Now, don't bring a Holy Ghost revival. As good as it is. As much as I love it. Wouldn't want to be without it. But I want to tell you, some tears will bring results. I'm ready, aren't you? I got to finish these stories. Let me go to the next story. The prodigal son. See, there are a lot of different kind of sinners out there. Some of them just never been none but sinners. Some of them have been self-righteous all their life. Some of them have at some time known the Lord and had a joy of the Holy Ghost. Some of them been raised by godly people that live as clean and as pure as they know how to live. A lot of different kinds and a lot of different levels of sinners. But the prodigal son had an old dad that was as straight and real as a dead could be. The son came and said, Dad, this is in the 15th chapter of St. Luke, if you want to read it later. The son came to Dad one day and said, Dad, I'm tired of you being bossy over me. I'm tired of you running my show. I'm tired of you being in charge. I'm tired of having to be subject. I want all my inheritance. I'm leaving town. And the dad, we don't have all that story. How long did the dad weep and say, son, please don't. Son, please don't do this. Son, please don't leave me. But the day came when the dad imparted to him his level of the inheritance. And the son left town. And he goes and he gets with the roughest in the town. And he takes out his friends and he sets everybody up over and over and over and over. Joseph, I mean, he just treats everybody like he's the richest kid in town. And at that time, he probably was. But it wasn't long till his wealth was gone. Do you know what they sent him to do? And this is amazing to be in the Bible. He hired himself out to a pig farmer. A pig farmer. Well, that'd give you trouble, wouldn't it? Hired him out to a pig farmer. And he had to go watch the pigs. Well, I don't know whether you ever watch pigs or not, but they're not clean. In fact, they love mud more than you love steaks. They really do. They love the mud. They'll eat those crumbs off the kitchen table mixed with dishwater and anything else and just drink it like it's the best cocktail in town. That's what they'll do. And he was a pig farmer. And one day he's sitting on the pig fence. He's looking out over that bunch of pigs. And suddenly, home comes to his mind. I remember in my father's house, we had bread enough and to spare. Here I am eating husk that these pigs are eating because nobody gives anything to me. My life's a mess. Sin has just made a mess out of me. Sin has just made a mess out of me. And I want to tell you something. Sin makes a mess out of everybody gets a hold of. There ain't no such thing as sin not making a mess out of you. It always does. But he's sitting there with a pig fence. I can imagine that. Now, I'm using my imagination. He straightens up. He kind of shakes his shoulders. He looks out over that pig fence. Then his mind goes back home. And he says, I will arise and go back to my father's house. And I will go back there and say, Father, I'm not worthy to come home. I've made a mess out of things. But I'm coming home. I'm coming home. And he waved goodbye to those pigs. Have you ever heard of pigs getting a permanent wave? They got a permanent wave from that prodigal son. And he won't go be that wave no more. And he hit it home. But I want to tell you something. Oh, God, help me. He didn't find a father somewhere having the joy of his riches. He didn't find a father somewhere eating the best that was available on the table. He found a father waiting along the trail that the son had walked even years earlier. We don't know how many years that son had been gone from home. All we know is there was a father watching. And I don't know that there was tears, the Bible don't say it, but I will guarantee you there was some tears. I guarantee you he was a weeping and he was a crying. And all of a sudden, something caught his attention. There was a figure coming down the road, still a long ways off. And he said, his gate looks like my son's gate. There's something about him that favors my son. And the father, when he finally knew it was his son, he ran to meet him. Hallelujah. Oh, you talk about tears. You talk about joy. Listen to me, church. When we get that kind of burden for the lost, we're going to see results. And I'm going to be one of those to see that result if I can live long enough. Sometimes I don't want to. So really, sometimes I don't. You say, Brother Chambers, shame on you. Well, don't say shame on me till you've been through my road, okay? You got to wear another man's sandals before you say too much shame about him. Anybody understand that? I mention Mom a lot. And I remember Brother Roper. How many know David Roper? He never preaches a sermon. He don't mention his daddy. How many know that? Anybody ever heard him preach a sermon he mentioned his dad? That may be my life from this day on, Norma, is I may have to mention Juanita because I weep over her. I cry so hard sometimes. I just have to scream. I mean, I'm kidding you. I'd like to go home today. And all I'd have to do is hear the Lord say, come on home, son. And I'm telling you, it ain't going to be goodbye to nobody. I'm going to be gone. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think he wants me to see the harvest time. I think he wants me to see the harvest time, Danny Lovis. I think he wants me to see that harvest, not just mine, but yours and yours and yours and yours. Everybody with lost children, raise your hand. Everybody with a lost loved one, raise your hand. Keep it up there a little while and get a burden. I'm expecting you to start crying and praying. I don't know how to cry. Let the Holy Ghost teach you. Did I? I think I saw a Lee boy. I love you, buddy. Your sweet wife. I love him. I love him. He's precious. Been praying for him. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. We're on the verge of the end. How many could believe? Listen, I read a story last night about a photographer, one of the noted photographers of the world of modeling. And I read the story of this man last night. And what he recently did to a young man whose pictures he was taking. And the gross filth, garbage. Can a human being 60-some years old treat a 20-year-old boy like that old man treated that boy, trying to entice him into homosexuality? It was so filthy. It made your flesh crawl. It stunk. It was so terrible. And you can read it all over the media. I'm telling you something. The devil's having a field day. The devil's having the ball of his life. The devil's on a picnic. The devil is turning this world to vileness and wickedness like this world has never known. And the king is coming. The king is going to judge every bit of that filth. He's coming in his glory and his righteousness. And you better get ready. Somebody raise your hand and help me. Oh, God, help us, help us, help us, Lord. Oh, I got so many other stories. The Bible is full of beautiful stories of the saving graces of our Lord. He is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Hallelujah. Oh, holy. I'm trying to close, but I want you to take this message home. I want a Holy Ghost revival in this place. I've longed for revival for so long. I prayed for revival for so long. I prayed for your sister Judy. I pray for every one of you that have families and children. Anybody knows me and hears me pray, you know I'm never selfish in my praying. God would condemn me if I was. I love your children, Yvette, just like I love mine. Hallelujah. I want to see every one of them saved. And I know something. If we will weep like God wants us to weep, we will have a Holy Ghost revival. Now you hear me as I say by the Holy Ghost, weeping precedes a Holy Ghost revival. Just like a cloud precedes a rainstorm. Did you hear me? Weeping precedes a Holy Ghost revival. Just like a cloud precedes a rainstorm. If the tears flow, the grace will flow. If the tears flow, the grace will flow. Now, I'm not talking about tears of selfishness, tears of one's own, you know, desires. I'm not talking about the tears of godly men and godly women who walk with God. I promise you, church. I promise you. And I'm not playing with words. I promise you, this pastor, with God's help, is going to weep like I've never wept. And any of you that have heard me praying lately, you know it's already happening. I can't pray without thinking of people going to hell. And there's so much criticism. There's enough people that hate me. I mean, they could make mincemeat out of me if God would turn them loose, but he ain't going to turn them loose. They is helpless. There's not a thing they can do. You can't stop a man or woman of God. You can't stop people that live right and live clean and do right. And I'm not perfect. I'm just as fleshly as any rest of you. What did the Bible say about Elijah? a man subject to like passion as you are. I'm subject to the same passions you're subject to. I fight the same devil you fight. I have to crucify my flesh just like you got to crucify your flesh. And sometimes my flesh is stubborn as a bulldog. Yours too, Brother Marlon. Yours too, Brother Dylan. Yours too, Brother Joe. But that's our flesh. But we're going to beat it back. And we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. Now bow your heads as the musicians get ready. I want you to raise your hand and pray with me. As the Kokosebra, somebody in this building is lost. Somebody in this building may be getting your last call. You better quit playing games. God's calling you to surrender and give it all. God's calling you to put yourself on the altar. He's calling you to quit playing religious games. Quit being up and down like an elevator. Get yourself set like a concrete wall. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to go right and do right. Everybody standing. I want every person that knows how to pray for somebody that's lost. Somebody in this building that's lost. And God's given you a chance this morning to get out of your seat. Quit playing games. Quit running from the preacher. And get yourself in this altar while they sing. Hallelujah. Singing for His glory. Raise your hand and pray, will you? God bless my visitors. I love every one of you. I didn't preach this sermon for you. I preached this sermon for us. But I hope you help it. Or you like it. Or you listen to it. Singing. Praise God. Praise God.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Calling.
Calling for you.
Coming home. If you've been playing games, you're half backslid. You've been indifferent. You've been careless. Why don't you lead the parade to the altar this morning? Let's make it a parade. And you come first. I need to get it on the altar. No more game playing. I'm giving it all to Him. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Sing it. Sing it. Hallelujah. To pray with us, dear sister. Just kneel right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come pray with the ladies. Come pray with the ladies. Come quickly. There's some others that need to come. Come, young man. I'm coming to Jesus. I've played games long enough. There's no time left. I'm coming. Are you saved? Are you saved? Hallelujah. I know there's two more that need to come.
Come home.
Hallelujah. Sing it with all you got. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and pray for somebody. Raise your hand and pray for somebody. Hallelujah. It's going to be harvest time around this church. It's going to be harvest time. We're going to see sinners coming to Christ. Wonderfully saved.
Jesus,
hallelujah, is coming. I'm telling you, it's coming, Brother Charles. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, help my people to learn to weep. Put a weeping on Brother Marlon, but he cannot escape. Put a weeping on Brother Joe, but he cannot escape. Oh, said Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to come beg you.
My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account. washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. And the old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle long ago, long ago, so long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and my record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. And when at the judgment bar I stand before my king, and he the books will open, he cannot find a thing, then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinners, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he has commanded, if you would enter in, and then if you should live 100 years below, in here you'll not regret it, that you settled long ago, long ago, yes, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away.